severe disruption to hospital services as a result of the data breach is continuing. Our Western correspondent Pat McGrath has been speaking to Richard Flaherty, CEO of Cancer Care West in Galway, and patient Barry Bingham from County Mayo.
Even through COVID, the treatment for our patients continue, thankfully. In our lodge here in Inishevan, we have 33 rooms where patients can stay while they're receiving radiotherapy, from all the way from Donegal to Clare. But now, with the latest upheaval, this has caused huge stress and strain for our patients that are staying with us. The lodge now has been closed and empty all week because patients are not travelling down because they don't know when their treatment will recommence. We're getting calls on a daily basis from the people who are staying with us, and the level of anxiety is huge. Our cancer support centre on Westside also receiving a huge amount of calls from people who are really concerned about the impact this delay will have on their treatment. It's a stressful time for these patients anyway, and I think this really has compounded it.
I was very lucky because when it crashed, I was actually, well, I was the next one in more or less when they decided they couldn't treat people. And they had a bit of a meeting, and then they decided that the machine I was on was okay, but they couldn't do any of the other in that department. They couldn't do anything else. So I've had my treatments, well, as normal, really. So I've been very lucky. In fact, I could have cried for the people who were up in the waiting room when they were told, and when they told me I was all right, and that they couldn't do the other poor people, you know. I was sad, really. I don't know what sort of lowlifes do these things, but there you go.
But as you can hear, radiology services particularly hit across the country, with patient appointments cancelled or postponed. The Irish Cancer Society has said that many patients whose test results have been delayed are looking for reassurance that medical services will soon resume. Let's talk now to Professor John Crown, oncologist at St Vincent's Hospital in Dublin. A very good afternoon to you, John Crown.
How are you?
Thanks for talking to us.
A big thank you to all those folks that are working 24 hours trying to fix this problem. They really are. We do appreciate the heroic effort they're making, and also all the nurses, doctors, radiographers, etc., who are improvising and trying to work their way around this by using novel approaches. Great big thank you to all of you.
Yeah. So encouraging news, one hopes, this lunchtime in relation to getting back access to the system. But in the meanwhile, what are you saying to your own patients? What are you saying to patients up and down the country, cancer patients who are concerned that in some way their treatment has been affected or compromised as a result of what's happening?
Well, Brian, I would have to say patients have suffered enormous pain, anguish, inconvenience. Hopefully at this point in time, not too many patients have suffered actual physical consequences. If the lockdown is to go on for much longer, it obviously could cause problems. There has been very severe disruption of radiotherapy services around the country. I was phoning around a few colleagues in different centres today, and they are badly, badly disrupted. Radiology services being able to, very important in cancer, it's not just having today's scan or today's x-ray, it's being able to compare it to the one from a month ago or 2 months ago to see if treatment is working or not working or if side effects are occurring. That type of comparison in many centres has become impossible. Huge chunks of medical records have become impossible. And even in centres that are struggling along to make it work, the effort involved in getting routine things like blood test results from a laboratory to a cancer treatment unit are incredibly complicated, often involving people physically running back and forth with bits of paper, which of course is greatly slowing down the ability to deliver the service. And some hospitals' routine clinics have been cancelled, and radiotherapy services, great efforts are being made, sometimes with the assistance of deals done with the private sector, that emergency radiotherapy can be given. But for many patients who are getting relatively long courses, 2, 3, 4 week courses of potentially curative radiotherapy, there's been very severe disruption this week.
And access to patient records, something as basic and simple as that, which you take for granted when the systems are working, not being able to have that ready access to a patient's records, what effect can that have just on even contacting patients, understanding where they are in their particular treatment, at what stage they're at, what comes next?
Well, it makes things hugely complicated because, you know, cancer medicine, cancer radiation treatment, cancer surgery, these are all dynamic areas. Things change. It's not enough to know what's happening to the patient today. You need to know what was happening a month ago, what was their history. If you're planning on giving radiotherapy, for instance, to a patient, it's critically important to know where did they have radiotherapy before, what part of their body. You can't give too much of a dose to the same area. So the inability to access a lot of those records is causing quite a bit of chaos. And as well as that, very, very carefully designed treatment protocols for patients involving, you know, what part of their body will get particular doses of radiation treatment. A lot of those have just been lost now for the last week. Now, hopefully they can be reclaimed, but certainly there has not been access to them. So an awful lot of real heartache for patients, huge inconvenience for patients. Hopefully not yet any real physical consequences, but if it were to go on longer, that would happen.
Talk to us about, in particularly in the area of diagnostics and imaging, these imaging systems. NIMIS, I think, is the system that's used by very many hospitals around the country for, you know, for taking scans, carrying out those diagnostic procedures. What's been the extent of the compromise, if you like, in that particular system?
Enormously variable from institution to institution. My own institution is one of the hospitals which is not on the NIMIS system, so we've had a degree of insulation from the worst excesses of that. But, you know, it's one of these kind of paradoxes that as NIMIS was developed to give a kind of a cohesive national radiological effort to make the smooth transfer of scans between institutions, because the nature of our health service is such that patients often have to transfer their care from one hospital or institution to another. The NIMIS system really made this very effortless and made it very efficient. Now, however, it's not just a question of transfer. In some hospitals, NIMIS is the system. So the result is that a patient goes in and sits in front of a scanner. A small image is generated on the scan machine, which is then electronically transferred to a reporting area where large screens, multiple screens are there, where radiologists can give it their considered opinion, and critically importantly, can pull up simultaneously the old scans to look for comparison. So with NIMIS down, that in many institutions has become lost. And the radiologists, again, you know, God bless them, they're working in very difficult circumstances and are improvising very well, are often going in and looking at the little screen on the machine, on the actual scanner, and trying to generate, somebody told me today, in one large hospital down the country, a handwritten paper report is then being generated on the basis of that and handed to a runner who has to then bring it to the ward where the patient is. So clearly this is a very substandard way of practicing. And it's one of those little paradoxes that the place that became most advanced and having the most advanced systems unfortunately have found themselves most vulnerable.
John Crown, there's been enormous strides in our treatment of cancer in recent years, and you know, very good prognosis for many people who get a cancer diagnosis. What are you saying today to people who are at home listening to all of this and concerned about their own prognosis, about what this might mean for their own treatment?
I truly believe that for most patients, if this does get fixed within a few days, and I hope I'm not being unduly optimistic, it will not have a major effect on somebody's ability to survive 1 year or 5 years or 10 years from their cancer. It will cause, and please, Brian, I am not minimizing the heartbreak, the anguish, the inconvenience, the disruption that cancer causes is not just to a patient, it's to an entire family, to an entire network of support, co-workers, etc. And very often a lot of these treatments run very tight timelines and schedules, and people have to make particular arrangements to look after kids, etc., etc. So this kind of disruption causes huge heartbreak. But with a little bit of luck, with the good efforts of all those folks that are working 24 hours a day and the others that are improvising their way around the problem, with a little bit of luck, hopefully we get set up and fixed relatively soon. We should not see any major problem in terms of survival, but if it goes on for a while, there will be a problem.
All right, Professor John Crown of St. Vincent's Hospital, Dublin, thank you for talking to us.